It's a very special SOL edition of Locked On Lions today. We got a great guest coming up, a legend in the business. Here we go.
You are Locked On Lions, your daily Detroit Lions podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we welcome in everybody, Locked On Lions, Locked On Podcast Network, on a Thursday, July 21st, and a Friday, July 22nd. Thanks for joining us, making us your first listen each and every day. Matt Derry with you. Follow me on Twitter at Derry Speaks, D-E-R-Y Speaks, at Locked On Lions. On Twitter, the Matt Derry Facebook fan page, and on YouTube. Yes, subscribe, please, to the page, Locked On Lions, on YouTube. Coming up today, as promised, Let's not even waste any time. We got to bring in the legend right now. Love this man to death. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. From 97.1 The Ticket. It works. This is all on the fly. Jeff Rieger is with me. Host, of course, of Rieger and Wojo at night. Hear him on the weekends. He's done Lions postgame for a year. And I like to call him the ambassador of SOL. And Dan Campbell mentioned SOL this week. Must have brought a tear to Jeff's eye as he joins us right now. What's up, sir?
What's going on, D's? By the way, I love that Dan Campbell embraced SOL. I heard it. Peter King talked to him, and I'm like, maybe we finally got a guy that actually understands what the fans feel.
I thought of you the other day because, you know, you read that piece at Pro Football Talk with Peter King, and I like that Football Morning in America piece every Monday. Yeah. And he's live and direct from Allen Park, and it was something I think he's been working on for a few months. But for Dan Campbell to say SOL, I mean, that was just, like you said, previous coaches never acknowledged it. Maybe Dan Campbell's onto something here by kind of trying to slay the dragon.
Could you imagine if you go to Rod Marinelli or even Jim Caldwell or Matt Patricia and say, and I think I probably did with a couple of those coaches, and say, hey, guys, do you believe in SOL? Why are you different? Why do the Lions continue to lose? Whatever the case is, every coach before Dan Campbell has run from it. Now, this doesn't mean they're going to win. This doesn't mean they're going to win a playoff game. But I truly do think it's important on a couple of reasons to embrace SOL. Number one, I think he shows the fan base that he understands us. I think he also shows everybody that he believes in SOL. How else do you lose to the Ravens at a 66-yard Justin Tucker field goal? I think at that point in time when he thought he had the game, Lamar Jackson converts the fourth and long, and then they lose. He's got to be thinking, SOL. Then the next week, or maybe it's the week before, he's crying at the podium. He's probably thinking, well, there's something more here. So whether you believe in it, whether you don't, I can assure you it's real. It is the reason that we've gone through so many awful moments, I think, as Lions fans. And to embrace it, I think it shows Lions fans that, hey, I'm one of you. Like, let's not forget, at his press conference, everybody right. focused on, you know, biting kneecaps. However, there was a part of that press conference when he was hired that he said, it's going to be different. We're going to change things. But then he also said, Lions fans don't want to hear that bleep. And that resonated with me. Like, he understands us. And he played here. He was here for 0-16. He was here the year before that, caught four touchdowns and played in every game the year before that. So I think maybe the Lions have a guy that understands the torture that the fans have been through. I also think, and maybe I'm going overboard, I think he understands that if he could beat, murder, kill, eviscerate SOL, which is unkillable, as we know, it's like Freddy Krueger. But if he could kill SOL, he'd be such a legend here. And I think he cares about that. So I like it. Does it mean they're going to win? Of course not. But I do think it shows some understanding that we've never seen before. Is that crazy?
No, I don't think so. And I'm interested because obviously doing the podcast every day, Twitter and Facebook and even YouTube comments are flying in. But you get to talk to the fans on the ticket each and every night. And what do you think the response has been? I know a lot of fans are like, look, we just want to win. We just want to play football games. You know, like you said, the kneecap thing and everything else. But what's been kind of the response as you and Bob have talked about it?
Everybody loves Dan Campbell. And I think everybody loves the Lions. Now, you always get this time of year, right? You get the summer optimism. People are swimming in the pool of Honolulu blue and silver. Make sure to chlorinate that pool. You don't want to get the amoeba there. But people right now love the Lions. And I think they love it even more because of all the national tension. So Peter King loves the Lions. That's obvious. Then you see Vegas comes out and says the most bet on bet is the over 6.5 wins for the Lions. Then you go a little deeper. Another bet on, highly bet on bet is DeAndre Swift. They have the most rushing yards. And then another one is for Dan Campbell to win coach of the year. So I think you throw that optimism along with the Peter King article, along with all the optimism from the draft that they got nationally. And I think people are buying in. And these, you know me, I'm a cynic. I laugh at the Lions. They've been my comedy gold for quite some time. I mean, they're my Seinfeld. They're my King of Queens. Like, the Lions every Sunday make you laugh your ass off once you become a little uninvested. But this year, why couldn't the Lions be the team, like every year, that goes from worst to first? And not first, but the playoffs. Like, think about the NFC as compared to the AFC. AFC, there's good teams that miss the playoffs. The Chargers didn't go to the playoffs. The Ravens didn't go to the playoffs. The Steelers were the last playoff team. And the Browns are even a good team, and they just got Deshaun Watson. But good team did not go to the playoffs. Go look at the teams in the NFC. The Eagles made the playoffs at 9-8.
Correct.
They were the seventh seed. The Lions, of course, were the last seed, the 16th seed. You're telling me that the Lions couldn't jump teams like the Bears, couldn't jump teams like the Vikings, the Carolina Panthers, the New York Giants this year? I think they could. And then look at the NFC West. Is Arizona going to be as good as they were? Is San Francisco, with Trey Lance now with the helm, going to be as good as they were? What I'm saying is I'm all in too. I think this team, because of what we've seen from the offense, and hopefully that defense is better, and it did seem like Dan Campbell and Jared Goff had a nice little relationship the last 6-7 weeks. I don't see a reason why this team couldn't flirt with the postseason berth. So maybe I'm just as bad as everybody else because I'm slurping it.
No, you know, you brought up the Caesar Sports thing from yesterday, and you know, the over-under is still, and we use betonline.net here on the network, 6.5, and this everybody's betting the over.
Everybody.
So what scares me is, you know, listening to you, it's like, wait a minute, when everybody hops on the Lions are always usually good and have good years. If you go back to some of the Wayne years and even Jim Caldwell, when they snuck up on people, now all of a sudden, Peter King's writing these stories. We're going to have Warren Sharp on in a couple of weeks. He's written this book, Sharp Football, that's it. And his preview for this season is the Lions might be able to push Green Bay. And it's like, wait a minute.
Wow.
So that's what scares me a little bit. Right. So, but you're in for over 6.5 for sure.
Without a doubt. And you mentioned Green Bay, like eventually Aaron Rodgers has to fall apart. I don't know if that's this year. He's 38 years old. He's got to be motivated, but the only thing that scares me, and you hit the nail on the head, you know, this is the exact similar preseason that the Tigers had. Do you remember everybody was talking about the Tigers and they're going to be better? And then Vegas came out with 73 wins and everybody scoffed at that. Oh, they're going to have more than 73 wins. And you look at it, usually Vegas knows, right? Usually Vegas knows. Vegas came out with 23 wins for the Pistons last year. And everybody said, oh, Cade Cunningham, give me a break. I'll go the over. It didn't go over. So that is the only thing that scares me, that Vegas still says 6.5. But all signs point to this team shocking people. I mean, look at the Bengals last year. Vegas had them at 4 wins. They go to the Super Bowl. So every now and then Vegas is wrong too. But I am all in for the first time in a long time, which scares me.
Jeff Rieger with us from 97.1 The Ticket. It is Locked on Lions, a Thursday edition. Follow him on Twitter. You can see it on the screen if you're watching on YouTube, at Rieger1984. When are you going to get rid of that? The way that this baseball team is playing, it might be time for you to change that Twitter handle. They're disgracing you, Jeff. I know they are. Come on.
Maybe I should. The last year they won the World Series, I was more than happy to put Rieger 2012 or Rieger 2006 if they would have got the job done. But they didn't. You're right. You're absolutely right. But there is a little bit of similarities, right, with how everybody thought of the Tigers and how everybody thinks of the Lions.
The Tigers going out and spending big money on Baez and Eduardo Rodriguez. And
where's he, by the way?
He might be the backup quarterback for the Lions.
hey, this is Al Avila. This is Al. I'm looking for Eduardo.
Right.
Oh, Well, tell him to call me when he gets a chance.
It's amazing. But I just thought with all the moves that was made and then the hype for Green and Torque, but the media here doesn't lather up the Lions like they do the Tigers. They just don't. That just doesn't happen, you know. No, but yes, I do see the similarities that people were jumping on the bandwagon. I mean, Pope John Morosi, and I like John, he said maybe playoffs. Miggy, you know, was celebrating with champagne when he got his 3,000th hit. He was saying, see in the postseason. So that was not good. But I don't think the Lions are saying that. They're kind of just saying, we're going to be better. Am I wrong? I don't think I'm wrong. I think
you're not talking.
I don't think Campbell's talking out of his ass yet.
If you go and you look at what Dan Campbell has said and some of the media availabilities and what the players are saying too, I think they're doing one of two things. I think they're saying, yeah, we can be a good team, but you know, they get another year, really. I mean, honestly, the rebuild is still a rebuild. So if they weren't going to be very good, I think fans understand. And I actually think fans would be happy about it because you get the draft quarterback. And that's what fans think. You're either going to keep Jared Goff or draft a quarterback. But the other thing is, notice how many times they talk about all the young talent. I think they're telling the world that they went out and did the best they could for Jared Goff. So this is a prove it year for Goff. He either succeeds with what he's been given or he's gone. He's kicked to the curb. And I think if you – maybe I'm looking too deep into some of these comments, but I think if you look into what Dan Campbell has said, I can count 5-6 times when he's making comments about the young talent and how it's going to be interesting to see what Goff can do. So I think you look at those two things, but you're right. Nobody is promising or saying playoffs, although Dan Campbell did say, why couldn't we be like Rich Strike, the Kentucky Derby winner? That came from nowhere, was trailing, and ends up winning the Kentucky Derby.
Except Rich Strike won the race. What's the win for the Lions? I mean,
playoffs.
Playoffs?
Yes.
I just, you know, I like what I'm seeing, and I like what Brad Holmes is doing, but I'm not there yet. I think doubling the win total and looking very ultra-competitive in some games and flirting with 7 wins would be great.
But hold on, you might be selling them short. I can't believe I'm sticking up for this franchise. Look at the last 8 weeks. Now they got blown out by Denver. They got blown out by Seattle. The other 6 or 7 games were touchdown games. They won 3 of them. They tied 1 of them. And they played a heck of a lot better football. Like, things started out rough, like you knew they would. But if you believe, and maybe you don't, that momentum carries over, and at least the second year of a regime – and a system carries over, why couldn't this team in a weak NFC hit the ground running?
Wow, listen to you.
I know. I can't believe I'm doing it.
I want to talk about some specific players. We're going to do that coming up next with Jeff Rieger. I got to tell you first about our friends at Built Bar. Folks, I've been telling you about it. I even ate one the other day. Hello, this is the brand new cookie dough chunk puffs. Oh, yeah, Jeff, you got to get these. Now they've got the coconut brownie chunk Built Bar Puffs. These coconut brownie puffs, they're incredible, and they're right there for you at Built.com. I love Built Bars. Eat them every day, whether it's for breakfast. It's a great snack. It's sugary and it's sweet, but it's good for you. Tons of protein, only 150 grams of calories. It's 150 calories, I should say, and they're fantastic. And the Built Puffs are great, the coconut brownie chunk puffs. They're only here for a limited time, so go to Built.com and get them. The cookie dough brownie ones are coming. Trust me, folks. I just tried them. They're amazing. Go to Built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15. Get yourself a box of the coconut brownie chunk Built Puffs. Do it right now at Built.com. Jeff Rieger with us from 97.1 The Ticket, Wojo and Rieger at night, and Jeff's on the weekends as well. It's almost like you work 7 days. I don't know get days off, pre and post, Red Wings. Very exciting time.
Tigers doubleheader coming up, yeah.
Now that ought to be fun. yes, Tigers as well. Let's talk about some specific players. You mentioned Jared Goff. I don't think he's going anywhere. I think Jared Goff's going to be here this year. I think Jared Goff's going to be here next year. They seem to really like him. I was talking yesterday on the show about Lewis Riddick saying that their quarterback future is not him. But what if he looks more like the guy from the last 6 games? And I think they think he'll play that way. Do you think there's a chance that come next year they don't draft another quarterback yet again?
I'm going to say something stupid, but I say something stupid all the time, so it shouldn't come as a shock. I do think the best hope for Lions fans is the hope that Jared Goff is good. Because if he's not, yes, you might get your unicorn franchise quarterback that you draft. Maybe it's CJ Stroud or Bryce Young, whoever you like. But then you're taking another step back. It's going to take another year, maybe 2 years, for that quarterback, no matter how insulated, to start winning, I think, and start being successful. As far as do I think Goff is the guy? I don't know. Like, I think it goes one of two ways. Like, you somehow continue what you had in the last six games, or you're the guy we saw in the first 14 games or whatever the case was. First 11 games, I guess it would be. But I think overall, they're giving him every opportunity. And I agree with you. I think Brad Holmes likes Jared Goff. Brad Holmes made sure that LA drafted Jared Goff. So I think if it's up to them, they would want Jared Goff to succeed, knowing if he doesn't, then you got to go find a quarterback. But I do think, I disagree with you. I do think he's going to play well enough to win that job. So I guess I agree with you, actually. I think he's going to play well enough to win that job. And well enough would be 7 to 8 to 9 wins.
What about on the other side of the ball? You know, projections on Aiden Hutchinson and all this. And I liked it. I think it was PFF said, well, you know, great battle is going to go on in training camp with Hutchinson and Pascal and Romeo and Charles Harris and all these guys to get playing time. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, you drafted Aiden Hutchinson at number 2. He better be on the field, right? Where do you think he's a double-digit sack guy his first year? Do you think he's great? Do you think he's good? How do you project? How do you think he'll do?
Well, there's two things. Number one, have you watched some of the video from the mini camps and the rookie camps?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah,
they love it. Aiden Hutchinson, while people are talking great things about him, as you should, he looks smaller than I remember. He really does. He looks thinner than I remember. And I was actually the first day of rookie camp. I was watching the video that the Lions put out. It actually took me back a little bit. I'm like, whoa, I think he needs to put on a little weight. Now, what do I know, right? But you draft a guy second overall, I need instant impact. Double-digit sacks for a team that doesn't sack the quarterback all that much over the course of the last 5-7 years, I would say would be expecting a little bit. But I need to see Penei Sewell impact. I do. You drafted Sewell 7th last year. You drafted Hutch 2nd overall this year. He needs to make an impact. He needs to be a first day, every snap starter. Well, not every snap, obviously. And I do. I need to see 8-9 sacks. I need to see constant pressure on the quarterback. And it's not just him. As you mentioned, for the first time in a long time, their edge rushers and their D-line is deeper than it's ever been. So it's a group effort. But to say that he won't start right away, I feel that would be really problematic.
Yeah. And I get that there's depth there, like you said. And you look up and say, what if Romeo Okwara is really healthy? Charles Harris off at 8.5 sack season. So they'll rotate around. And I have no problem rotating guys.
That was a contract year, though. That scares me a little bit.
What's that?
That was a contract year for Charles Harris. That scares me a little bit.
He got paid. Good for him. But
absolutely.
I mean, on third downs, yes, there's going to be some times where guys come off the field. I get that. But you're right. I mean, I'm expecting number 97 to be really good. But I also think that none of those three guys, Trayvon Walker, Kayvon, or Aiden, will be Pro Bowl players their first year. Probably. I think they're going to make a Micah Parsons type splash. I just thought this draft was a little bit weak, and I'm hopeful that Hutchinson's going to be good. You brought up the D-line. I mean, how can this defense get better? Does it start there in your mind?
Yeah, I think it starts in the D-line, but D's, and again, I'm soaking it in. I'm kind of disgusted with myself. Everything I've stood for over the last 20 years, uh-oh, ripping on this team, I feel I'm beginning soft in my old age. But they're also should get better in the secondary, right? And you know who I'm talking about. Oh, yeah. I've watched the videos. You've watched the videos.
The workouts, the backpedaling.
The last video I saw with Jeffrey Okuda, dude's got some massive leap. He looks like he's 100% recovered from the Achilles. I do think that he could maybe take a big step. I think people have wrote him off. I really do. Like, look at his timeline. When he was drafted, and if we're being honest, he never should have been drafted. It should have been Herbert or Tua, whatever the case is. Right. You should have drafted him. Right. Whatever. We're not going over that again. But if you look at his timeline, he was brought over when the pandemic was raging. He didn't have a normal mini camp. There wasn't a mini camp. There wasn't a rookie camp. His training camp was all virtual. And then he's thrown to the wolves, and he got ate up like a rookie's known to do. Not to mention, it takes a cornerback a little bit of time to get her going, as we know. I do think with better coaching, you have great secondary coaches, and you get a great DC from what we're led to believe compared to what you had before with the Patricia era. I don't see a reason why a guy like Okuda couldn't take a leap and be an impact starter for this team. And if he is, if he can hopefully help you on one side of the football, or one side of the field rather, I mean, think about how much better that defense could be right off the bat. So I think added defensive depth in the secondary, but defensive line, without a doubt, they made such an effort to get that defensive line deeper. So you got to see dividends. The problem still is you have no linebackers. So that's an issue.
I will say this too. If Aubrey Pleasant and Aaron Glenn can't get the most out of Okuda, I don't think anybody can. And what is number one, that's a small dig at Jeff. But number two, that goes to show that there's some consistency in that coaching staff. You talked about it. I mean, remember the days of who is Hall Pasqualoni handing the reins over to Corey Undlin? What a joke. Like, we actually have here guys that other teams are interviewing. Aubrey Pleasant is going to be a defensive coordinator soon.
Aaron Glenn's
going to be a head coach soon. Like, they're on our staff. They're here. As opposed to, like you said, Coach P, and God bless him, I love him, but and Corey Unlin, and that was just a clown show.
Pasqualoni was fantastic.
Oh, man.
What about Gunnar Cunningham? I mean, rest in peace. Remember the Gunter Cunningham era?
Yes. Good man. Oh, yeah.
I was a great man. Awesome man.
Close CWPFs with Rhonda Moss as well.
That is 100% right. Yeah, they worked together in Kansas City.
Wow. A Rhonda Moss reference on Locked On Lions. We've hit a low point. All right. So you mentioned before about the linebackers, and you know, it's interesting. Everybody's talking about, well, how are they going to get better? They were 31st in scoring defense. It's like, all right, rush the passer, obviously. But I think Onsarike and McNeil, if those guys take a leap, what does that say about Brad Holmes, right? I mean, that's kind of – those were two guys he drafted last year, and if they make a leap, I think that would be huge.
Yeah, I think Brad Holmes had a good first draft, right? Those two guys need to take – I think McNeil was pretty good last year. I think Onsarike needs to be better. By the way, did Aleem McNeil just make a rap song? He's got new –
Yeah, I've heard he's a musician, yes.
He's very good, actually. I heard it on the morning show the other day. They were playing Stoney and Costa. It was fantastic. I enjoyed it. I thought they did a really nice job. But you are right. Like, there was a chance, and again, it involves the Lions' butter, right? Like bathing in the Honolulu blue and silver, pool or bath. But everything seems so good right now. And Brad Holmes is another guy that seems like his draft was awesome. And there isn't anybody that disagreed with trading up to get Jameson Williams. Now, maybe you go defense in that situation if you trade up instead of offense. But I think overall, the first draft was pretty good. Amon-Ra St. Brown, I think we expect big things from him. He was a fourth-round pick from USC. He's another guy that I think you kind of hit on as well. So I do think, and we laughed at this, at least I laughed at this, the Brad Holmes never being a GM, and I don't know how integral he was in Los Angeles, and Dan Campbell, Mr. I'm going to bite your kneecaps. And, you know, he was a clown and a joke, and the national media trashed him. There's a chance that together we are seeing a pretty solid regime for the first time in a long time. Now, I think we thought the same thing about Bob Quinn, did we not? Because you got rid of Mayhew.
Yeah, and Bob Quinn, to an extent, but I think Bob Quinn's, I don't know, he was a rough start for him, you know.
Yeah, but he had some nice moves before he hired Patricia, and his team's made the playoffs under Caldwell. But I do think there's trust in Brad Holmes. I think he's done a nice job through two seasons. The only thing I wish they would have done more of, and I asked Holmes about this, and I get why they did what they did. It would have been nice to be a little more active in free agency. And instead, they re-signed their own guys from a three-win football team. A lot
of one-year deals. Yep.
I get. And that's fine. I got no issue with it. We wait and see how it plays out. That's maybe my only gripe. But so far, D's. And maybe also that expectations are so low. Expectations are pretty low as far as, like, if they win eight games, we're all ecstatic. So, yeah. But I do think that Holmes and Campbell and the regime, I don't remember a time where I felt more positive.
Wow, this is a breakthrough, Jeff. I'm love having you on, and
you know they're going to go kind of looking at this.
Yet. Say it again.
You know they're going to go 0-17 now.
No, they're not. The schedule, and I didn't even say this to you. I mean, you look at the schedule. Last year, I went, "Oh my gosh!" And everyone went, "Well, you're so negative." I said, "No, this schedule's murder. AFC North and NFC West, forget it. Now, AFC East and NFC East." There's some cupcakes in there. There's some, and then you throw in a Carolina. Chicago is terrible. The Lions should sweep the Bears. No,
they better. They haven't in a while. It's been 4 years of Bears dominance. But these, take it a step further. They have the second easiest schedule, as you mentioned. If you get into the schedule rankings, they have the second best travel schedule as far as the second least amount of miles that they fly to go play games, and because they play every game at Sunday at 1 o'clock, they are the most rested team in the NFL. They play one short week for Thanksgiving. Yeah. And if you think those things matter, cool. If you don't, then I understand that too. But also look at the fact that, and this is the leap, isn't this team due for a break here and there? You go back to last year, you're looking at a 6-win season if you get a couple breaks. I get it. They didn't. Part of it was their fault.
Right. The ball, but the ball bounces the other way off the upright. Santoso's kick goes through. You know, there's a few things. You're right. Minnesota game. Same thing.
At Matt Nagy's first year in Chicago. They won the division. How'd they win the division? They got every defensive break in the world. They fell in every fumble. They got every pick. The next year, it all went away. Maybe you're due for a little luck as well.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. But, Jeff, great to see you. Thanks for coming on, and all the best, my friend.
Where do you think you'll be the moment you realize SOL has been murdered?
What is the definition? Like, they have to win the Super Bowl? I mean, like, what if they made it to, like, the NFC title game
and then gagged it
away? Wouldn't that be SOL?
Well, that might be. This might be SOL, too, by the way. SOL loves to play dormant. SOL is a very patient man. Sitting back, allowing us to get excited until he pulls the rug from under us.
I hope not. I'm hopeful for this fan base that they get something fun this fall. I think they're on the right track. It's it seems like it. Like you said, some of the young talent, and let's see too if Dan Campbell can pull this off and coach them up and get over 6.5-7 wins or whatever it is, and like you said, maybe even make the playoffs. So that would be, oh my gosh, what would that be like around here? Because even those Caldwell teams. You know, you go to Seattle on Saturday night on NBC. Everybody knew they were losing that game.
Or 6 points.
Right, and there were unlikable guys on that team, like Eric Ebron. This is a likable team. So,
well, the Peter King article that talked about all the players hanging and chilling at minicamp with Brad Holmes. And at first, when I first read it, I'm like, okay, what a big deal. It's not. But then Peter King said, it is a big deal in my world. Apparently players don't do that. I think it does say something that guys are happy to be here. But again, you got to go out and prove it now.
You have to play. And, no question.
And I think you're going to see a good product on the field. Or they're going to totally suck and we'll be calling for the heads of Coleman Campbell.
Jeff, you're the man. Thank you.
Always a pleasure, Diz. I like this.
Jeff Rieger with us. 97.1 The Ticket right here on a Thursday, Locked On Lions.